I know everybody's seen it on the news about that little boy tragically dying over there in Corbin. Somebody says, well, how come that happened to that family? No, don't ask that. Ask how come it didn't happen to you. Are you better than that daddy and mommy over there? You better person than them? Ask how come it ain't happened to your great baby or grandbaby or you or your family in some way. There's a whole lot better people than you and I that are going through some real hard tragedies tonight. But God's blessed you to be here. Amen. God's blessed you with enough health and mind to be here and your children to be here. A whole lot better people than us, Jason, in the hospitals tonight. A whole lot better Christians and preachers than me going through some really rough waters. We're blessed to be here. We're blessed, blessed people. And we don't see it, though, many times. John chapter 11 tonight, if you got your Bible. This church has been built on the preaching and the teaching of God's Word because that's what we need in our lives. That's what's going to carry us. That's what's going to help us in this hour in which we live. John in chapter 11 tonight, a very familiar place in the Bible, very familiar portion of Scripture. I love the book of John. This whole chapter is devoted about a little situation in a family right here. Y'all pray for me. John chapter 11, verse 14, the Bible said, then said Jesus unto them plainly. And I don't think we need a little plain talk sometimes, don't we? Lazarus is dead. He had to talk to them that way, Bubby. They couldn't get it no other way. And I'm glad, for your sakes, that I was not there. Now, you think about that. Lazarus is sick. They've asked Jesus to come. He's not went. Man, they're bullying mad. He said, I'm glad he's dead, for your sakes. To the intent you may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto him. He said, I'm glad this Lazarus went through this and his family's went through this for your sake. He said, nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, he's always got something kind of critical, something negative to say. That's his personality shown in through the Scriptures, which is called Didymus unto his fellow disciples. Let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, you notice that Jesus didn't rebuke him or say anything to him. He just let it go, didn't he? Just let it pass by. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews come to Martha and to Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Jesus went to this house more than any other house. And he stayed with these people more than any other people that he ever stayed with. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Roles reversed right here. Usually Martha's a worker and in their house, and Mary's at the feet of Jesus. But a tragedy comes, and they switch roles here. Martha runs out, and Mary's pouting around in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But now I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection.
Amen.
And the life.
Yeah.
I told Brother Tyler yesterday, I said, we don't need a lot of revivals. We need some resurrections around here. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Boy, it's powerful right there.
Amen.
When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly. She went in there, Mary's pouting, Mary's messed up, saying, the Master has come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Jesus is standing in the road. He's not going nowhere, no time, no soon, till Mary comes out and does business with him right where he's at. Lazarus is still in the grave. Martha went back and told her privately, not in front of everybody. Said, look, the Lord's out there waiting on you. And then I'm trying to set the scene for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now, Jesus was not yet coming to the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. He didn't move an ounce. Didn't move one place. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily, went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. They would put on real big shows when somebody died. They would come out there. Man, they would wail. And I mean, they knew how to do a funeral. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. You know how powerful that is right there. He groaned in the spirit. He was really just in his spirit. He was so troubled.
Yeah.
And said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Why did the Lord ask, where have you laid him? Did he not know where he had laid him? Well, sure he did.
Yeah.
But sometimes in our lives, he wants us to tell him where things are at so many times in our lives.
Amen.
Verse 35 is where I'm going to stop at tonight. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. 66 books, Tyler, in your King James Bible. The smallest verse in the Bible, John 11:35, two words, Jesus wept. Jesus wept, and there's a period right there.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus wept. When those visitors came here a few weeks ago to see us, a brother back here, Brother May, said, you said something in the pulpit a while back which helped me. He said, you said about taking a verse in the Bible and meditating on that verse over and over in your mind all week long.
Yeah.
The Bible says in Psalm 1:2, but in his delight is the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night.
Amen.
Psalm 19:4 said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Psalm 119:15 says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Psalm 104:34 says, my meditation of him shall be sweet, and I will be glad in the Lord.
Right.
Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, attend or meditate unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my saying. Psalm 119:97 says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And I like Isaiah 26:3. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace.
Amen.
Perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee.
Amen.
Because he trusteth in thee. Did you get that verse? He said, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. The liquor stores sold out because people's chasing peace. People bounce around from relationships, trying to get some kind of peace. The pharmacies can't roll enough pills out, Brother Tyler, for people trying to get peace. They're trying to get peace on jobs. They're trying to get peace and fulfillment in a lot of different places, in a lot of different ways. But the Bible gives a very good formula. He said, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Listen, that brother told me, he said, you told me something to meditate on God's Word, just to get a verse and to think about that. Well, Brother Garrett got up and said that Sunday. Well, Brother Bubby come in. I didn't know what Brother Bubby's going through. But I looked at Brother Bubby Sunday and I said, Brother Bubby, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's easy to remember, ain't it? The Lord is my shepherd. And the tears in Brother Bubby started flowing. It wasn't nothing that I said. It's what God said through His Word. And all week long, I bet you that's been playing over in this man's mind. When I went up to see Fanny Stewart a Saturday and sat by her bed, listen, while she's dying, she smiled real pretty and grabbed my hand, and I looked at her and I said, Fanny, here's what I want you to say over and over, and she repeated after me, I want you to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's going to take care of you. He's a good God. He's not going to let you out there. But that's an easy verse in the Bible to just to meditate on. I'm trying to help us now about keeping our minds right and keeping our spirit right and keeping our heart right. Listen, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Psalm 23:1. But I'm going to give you something tonight in this whole story right here in these 57 11 verses in this 11th chapter. The shortest verse in your Bible, just two words. But Gavin, it's jam-packed, brother, with stuff in here. It says Jesus wept. Amen. Think about that for a moment. Jesus wept. Jesus wept, brother. John 11:35, Jason Burke. Jesus wept. I began to think, oh, since Sunday I've been thinking about this verse. Jesus wept. Think about this for a minute. In this same book, Brother Tyler, in John 1, it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The very incarnate Son of God up there on that little road outside of Bethany. Brother wept. Jesus, the very incarnate Son of God there above me, stopped and wept. He listened. He came on flesh for you and I. He stood there, Glenn, and he wept. Amen. Think about that. He wept. The very Emmanuel wept. You know what Emmanuel means? Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Listen, the very incarnate right there, brother. The very Word of God made flesh. I stood right there. Listen, knowing what he was going to do. Knowing a million years down the road, and a million years past. But Jesus stood there on that road, and Jesus wept, brother. Emmanuel meaning God with us. Can you think about that for a minute? God Almighty with us. Hey, Sister Laura's holding the baby back there. And in that baby's blood, in his veins goes the blood of his daddy. But inside the veins of Almighty God, inside the veins of Emmanuel, wasn't the blood of a man. It wasn't the blood of Adam, Brother Randall. The Bible said it was the very blood of Almighty God. That's why, listen, by the shedding of blood, there's remission of sin through Jesus Christ. Because Emmanuel, God with us. Can you see how repulsive that it is that a man could say, I've been a good old boy or a good old gal. I've done this or I've done that. Jason, when the very blood of God was shed out there, Jesus stood outside of Bethany, brother, and he wept. The very incarnate, listen, the very Emmanuel stood right there and he wept. Amen. Jesus wept. The very immortal. Now think about this for a minute. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He calls himself the immortal right there. He's the incarnate. He's the Emmanuel. Listen, but the Bible said he's immortal. There he is, brother, standing outside of Bethany. That word immortal means undecaying. It means something that's incorruptible. It means something that never decays. But there on Bethany's road, listen, he's standing outside. Listen, where a graveyard is, where things are there decaying, and he's weeping there, brother. He's the very undecaying, incorruptible, a word of Almighty God. And Jesus wept right there. But let me tell you something that really gets me. He stood there weeping. He's moved. The Bible says he's groaned, and he's troubled about this whole situation. And all he's got to do is just speak the word.
That's right.
He could have spoke the word. He could have prevented all this from happening days ago. But he didn't, because he's showing you and I something here. Listen, he's showing you and I something here that he's identified with us. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that he might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know what he's doing right there? Jesus wept. I'm trying to help you how to meditate on Scripture now. And you can go on and on with this. Listen, he identified right there on that road, knowing, Tyler, what he was going to do. But the Bible said he stopped there, groaned in his spirit, and he wept. Only 3 times in the Bible it's recorded that the Son of God wept. Did you know that? He never recorded that he ever laughed, because the Bible said he's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But Tyler preached about one time that he wept over that city. He wept over those people out there because he knew what was coming on them. And then he stopped right here and wept. And another place that he wept was in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Hebrews said he had strong crying. Where he's listening,
tears. That sweat became, as great drops of blood. Brother, somebody said one time that Judas kissed the very gates of heaven. Brother, Judas kissed the very blood of Almighty God. It was on his lips. I believe he tasted the very blood of God. He wasn't crying out there because he's afraid to die on a cross. He wasn't crying out there because he's afraid of a Roman whip. We've heard that preaching these mountains. Brother, just get amnesia and forget all that mess. Brother, let me tell you, he was out there crying and crying before God. Listen, he embraced that. That was before him. Brother, he's out there crying because all the sin from Adam to the last sin was going to be poured upon him on the cross. Amen. Your filthy mouth, my filthy mouth. Your drunkenness, your whoring, your filthiness, every child molester, every murderer, every little all that was going to be poured upon Christ, upon the cross, at no time ever in eternity. Brother Bubby was Christ, apart from God the Father and God the Spirit. But right there on Golgotha, when he cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, the Son of God? Listen, hanging there between heaven and hell, listen, and God poured your wrath that you deserve and I deserve upon the sinless Son of God. Brother, he identified with us, and Jesus wept. Amen. Jesus wept. Y'all heard me tell this story before, but I love it, Glenn, because it just brings us down to where we can understand about that man that wouldn't go with his wife and family to church on Christmas. And he said, I ain't going down there. That's a bunch of foolishness down there. So Bubby, he sat at the house, and he sat there in the house, and he started snowing real hard. And Jason, while I was snoring real hard, listen, he looked out there and he seen some birds playing out there in the yard, and they was getting snow on them. It was like a blizzard. He said, them birds are going to die. He said, I got a good warm barn out there. I'll get them birds in that barn out there. So he goes out there, Bubby, and he tries to shoo them birds, but they won't pay no attention to him. They're like they're scared of him. Then he goes out there and he said, I know what I'll do. I'll get some breadcrumbs and I'll leave some breadcrumbs behind. I'll lead those birds to the barn. So he went out there and the snow's pouring and they're flapping around out there, Bubby. They're struggling. So he throws some breadcrumbs there, thinking he'll lead them to the barn with some breadcrumbs. But Tyler, they just lay right there flapping around. He gets in the warm barn. He says, come on, birds. But they just are scared of him. They won't get around him. He said, I don't know what I could do. He said, the only way I could think of how I can get those birds inside that barn, if I could just become a bird, then they wouldn't be so scared of me. Then they would understand me. Then I could get them in the barn before they flop around here and die. You know what God done? God became a man. And we identified with him, brother. And it's because he loves us. Because before time in the Old Testament, they never said, a father. But when Jesus prayed, when he prayed in Matthew, he said, our Father. I bet they stepped back and said, Lord, what's this? We're scared of God, but Jesus, who's the incarnate, immortal, Son of God, identified with us that we would know God. If you're going to know God, you're not going to know him. No other way. But in through by Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of God, through the Scriptures. He is our Emmanuel, God with us. He's immortal. We identify with him. He's the incarnate Son of God. Amen. Y'all pray for me. I like this, Tyler. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. I'm trying to help you. Meditate on the Scripture. Because so I just don't memorize things good. Anybody memorize Jesus wept?
Yeah.
Two words. Jesus wept. Amen. Jesus wept. And I'm not even scratching the surface, Gavin, tonight about Jesus weeping. Jesus wept. The immortal Son of God, Randall, wept. He identified with us right there in that road. And he wept, brother. He's right there, our Emmanuel, God with us. As a matter of fact, if you do a little word study, where it says he tabernacled amongst us or dwelt amongst us, that word dwelt means tabernacle. It carries an Old Testament term. Everywhere they went in the wilderness, they had that tabernacle. And God was tabernacling there with them. And we got him with us right now. He's tabernacling with us tonight. If you're saved by God's grace, he's tabernacling within us by the Holy Spirit of God. But Jesus Jesus wept right there outside of Bethany's grove. Listen to this. Think about this for a minute. Jason, the Bible says he groaned in his spirit. He was troubled. Troubled. And we're talking about God. Almighty troubled at these little people right here. And they're offended at God, by the way. They're offended at him. And one of them sits in the house. She's always out there. One of them runs out there and says, if you'd have been here, my brother would have died. He ain't jumping on nobody. He didn't jump on Thomas. Thomas ain't believing nothing. He's got some smart mouth, critical all the time to say. But he didn't jump on Thomas, did he? I'm so glad, listen, that Jesus wept right there. And I'm so glad that that's in the Bible. I believe God chose that to be the smallest verse in the Bible to show us something that he knows about our infirmities, brother. The Bible said in Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are yet. Without sin, brother. Jesus knows how we feel. Jesus knows all about our troubles. He knows about our trials. He knows all about these things. Listen, when Paul wrote that in Hebrews, he said, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are yet without sin. You know what Paul was talking about when he said that, those Jewish believers? Hebrews is written to Hebrews. Listen, in that Old Testament time, when they took that lamb to that high priest, he had no emotional connection whatsoever to that lamb. Now that family had raised that lamb all year long. They had kept care of that lamb. They made sure that lamb didn't have a spot or a blemish. They fed that lamb. You believe that family may have got some kind of attachment to that little lamb? Think about how you are with your little dogs and cats and things. It just sit right in the house. They watched over that. But that high priest, Jason, he had no emotional connection. It was just a job to him. And they give that lamb that high priest. He'd pull its own neck back from mommy and daddy in front of them youngins and slit his throat, brother. And the blood would pour out. And he just had no emotion whatsoever because the law's that way. But we have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, brother. He knows. He feels for us. He loves us. And right there in John 11:35, the Bible says that Jesus wept. He wept because he felt their pain. Listen, he felt their pain. Somebody loses a child, I believe the Lord weeps. He feels that. Somebody goes through a hard divorce, he weeps. He knows that. Somebody loses a job, he weeps. He knows that. Somebody goes through some sort of abuse, he weeps. He knows that. Somebody don't understand something, he weeps. He knows that. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin, brother. He knows in John 11:35, brother, you can just meditate on that, that Jesus knows all about us. I love them songs we sing that says Jesus knows all about us, brother. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we're at. Why would he cry? He knows what he can do. He's got all power, but he's groaned in the spirit. And when he's weeping, then people misunderstand him. They said, oh, look at him, how he loved them. That was right about that. He's weeping because he loves them. He's weeping over their loss. He's weeping how they feel, even though he knows what he's going to do. Amen. Jesus weeps. Jesus wept. I'm glad that we got a God, the immortal Son of God, Emmanuel, who identified with us, who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it's like. Listen to this. I think about this. Who is intimately involved and interjects in this situation. Think about that. He's intimately involved with these people. He visits this house, Jason, more than any other house. He's intimate with these people. And he's involved with these people. They know him and he knows them. And he loves them so much that he interjects himself. He's 4 days late. He's outside somewhere that stinks. Only 3 people in the Bible recorded that Jesus rose from the dead. Lazarus has been dead some days and he said he stinks. Jairus' daughter just died and he grabbed her hand and rose her from the dead, and then the little boy in Nain, they carried him out. But let me ask you something. Who was more deader? Was Lazarus more deader than Jairus' daughter? Dad's dead, ain't it, buddy? Whether you've been laying in a crypt for 1,000 years or just died 1 second ago, dead's dead, brother. You know what Lazarus here laying in his crypt needs? He didn't need no encouragement, brother. Encouragement ain't going to help him at all, is it? He don't need education. That ain't going to help him at all. Hey, listen, he don't need a new environment. He needs to listen to life, power, saving, a power of only Jesus Christ can give, amen.
Amen.
I believe that's why he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. I believe you know what we're doing in our churches a lot. We trying to teach dead people.
Right.
And they're dead.
Right.
It's like that. They say, well, I can't feel nothing. Well, if you go to a funeral home and you take a knife and you stick a dead man laying in a coffin and the leg, he ain't going to twitch. He can't feel nothing. He ain't going to respond to you because he can't hear nothing. He ain't going to speak to you because he's dead. A brother or something was put life in that man, he'd feel something then, couldn't he?
Amen.
He'd talk, couldn't he? I don't believe he'd get up where he was at. And Jesus, listen, he gets intimately involved in this situation. And he interjects there. And he said, where have you laid him? Listen, he knows what he's going to do. And he gets out there, listen what he does. He says, hey boys, I want you to go roll away the stone. Now think about this. I meditate on this, Glenn. Why didn't he just go like this and move the stone? He could have done that. Because he uses us to move stones away so many times. That's got people blocked in, brother. He gets us to move some stumbling blocks, some stones out of the way. They can't speak life into him. He's going to do what they can't do. But what they can do, listen, he's going to use them. And I'm so glad that he uses me and you to save somebody. Amen.
Amen.
He uses my mouth. He uses your faithfulness.
Right.
He uses your singing, your testimony. He uses all those things combined to get rocks moved out of people's lives.
Amen.
Amen. Now he's in a tomb. He must have levitated him up, Tyler. The Bible said old Lazarus was there and they said, surely he's stinking. He ain't worried about the stink. Listen, God saved somebody. He cleaned the stink up in their life.
Amen.
Won't he? Yeah. Amen. He'll put some sweet savor on them. Amen. He'll take care of that sting. And they said, Lord, surely he stink. Don't roll away them stones. He ain't intimidating. That ain't intimidating. Jesus won out. Brother Jason, he said, you just go away and roll away the stone. I'm going to speak into that thing. Listen, if somebody gets saved by God's grace, a lot of their old stinkiness will get cleaned up on it in their life. And the Bible said he rose up there and he looked at them boys. I could see Lazarus all bound up. They bound him up like mummies then. He had him all wrapped up. And Jesus looked at that crowd and said, now you all loose him and let him go. You know what happens a whole lot of times, Glenn? A lot of people get saved. God speaks life into them and saves them and that brings them down to the local church. And he says, now you all loose him and let him go. And they walk around like this. But it's our job as Christians. It's our job as God's people. Listen, to help take out those bounds that Satan's bound them up with. So they can be free and make it to John chapter 12 and sitting at the table with Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus wept.
Amen.
Whole chapters about Jesus wept. Whole chapters about Jesus wept. I found this, and I'm going to close out with this because it's such good instruction. Jesus wept. He's involved with them. Jesus wept. That's the way my mind works. I meditate on something. I kind of get the same letters because he keeps up with things. He feels like our infirmities. Jesus wept. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. Jesus wept. He identified with us. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He's the immortal. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He feels for us. He gives us instruction. Jesus wept. He intersects places in our life, situations and sorrows and sin and heartache. Jesus wept, brother. There's so much in this. If we get a hold of this, it'd change your life. Jesus wept. Amen. Listen to this. Be not troubled with thoughts of the morrow. This is a poem an old Christian man wrote, Puritan. Be not troubled with thoughts of the morrow. That's what we do, ain't it? Every one of us come in here with thoughts of the morrow. Be not troubled with thoughts of the morrow. Of duties you surely must do. On the Lord cast your burden of sorrow. It matters to Him about you. And it does. Be not weary when trials are given. But trust Him to carry you through.
He will make all a pathway to heaven. It matters to Him about you. It really does. It matters to Him about you. He wept. It matters to Him about you. You say it matters to Him about the preacher. No, it matters to Him about you.
That's right.
It matters to Him about you. Then be patient until He's appearing. 'Tis dawn almost now on your view. For the mist of this dark age are clearing. In love, He is planning for you. Jesus loves you. Jesus wept right here. Shortest verse in all the Bible. But jam-packed, buddy, for us. Jesus wept. He wept here. He's looking at us and He wept. He's showing us about Himself right here. And He gives the invitation that I can do the impossible. Jesus wept. This whole 57 verses hinges on 35th verse. Jesus wept. And the tide begins to change after Jesus wept. He begins to move.
All right.
Jesus wept.
All right.
Drew, get us a song, Jesus Wept.